through his blood even the forgiveness of sins. And the Bible says he hath loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. The blood of Adam in our gives us a sinful nature. It separates us from God. It brings death to the flesh. But the blood of Jesus Christ bridges the gap between a sinful man and a holy God. And the Lord Jesus Christ lays his hand upon sinful man and his hand upon a holy God and reconciles them both within himself. There was a time when Job said, "There is not a daysman betwixt us that he might lay his hand upon us both." But now there is a mediator, and his blood is on the mercy seat in heaven tonight, still just as powerful as it was almost 2,000 years ago. If you're here tonight and you have sin, you've never been saved, if you're a Christian, you're burdened with sin, and you've got away from God, his blood is still available. And if you'll come and confess your sins, he's faithful and just, and he'll forgive you of all your unrighteousness. Thank God for that. Let's bow our heads for prayer and ask the Lord's blessing on the service. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you tonight for the privilege, for the opportunity to assemble ourselves together in this place of worship. Lord, you don't live in this building tonight. You live in our heart. And our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And Lord, we ask you tonight, Lord, the gift of God that is within us, may it be stirred up tonight. I pray that you'd bless Brother Ed as he preaches, bless the singing, bless the invitation. If there's one in our midst that's never been saved, may they be saved. May your people tonight be stirred and revived and encouraged and drawn close to you. Father, we thank you tonight for the Savior, for his precious blood shed on the cross for our sins. Thank you for the blood atonement that's been made. And Father, again tonight, bless this service. Use it for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated.
Let's turn to page 230. All right, with a bird.
Good.
Let's turn to page 159. Does everybody stand on this one? This will be our last congregational hymn. To sing the third verse now. That's my favorite verse. And while you sing it, you listen to the words and let it speak to your heart. This song has a message in it. And you listen to the third verse. I like this one.
My sin, all the bliss of this glorious God. My sin, not in part, but the
Wow. me all the way. Glory, grace, and blessing must have had a part of God. I'm shouting hallelujah every day. Drinking at the springs of living water. Happy now am I, my soul is satisfied. Drinking at the springs of living water. All wonderful and bountiful supply.
Sing the last.
Oh, sinner, won't you come to drink at Calvary? A fountain that is flowing deep and wide. The Savior now invites you to the water free, where thirsty spirits can be satisfied. Drinking at the springs of living water, life happy now and on, and all that's satisfied. Drinking at the springs of living water, oh, wonderful and bountiful supply.
Let me welcome all of the visitors tonight to the service. Good to have each one of you. And I hope you'll try to come back another night this week and be with us in meeting here at this church. How many preachers we got here tonight? I think I know just about all of them, but how many's here tonight? How many of you fellas are preachers? If you're not ashamed of it, raise your hand. Well, that's five, six. That's pretty good many. But it's good to have each one of you men of God here tonight. I want you to pray for our revival this week. Pray that God will stir this church and this community. We don't want to just have a series of meetings, but we want to see people saved and God's people revived. All right, I want to ask Brother Ed to come at this time, bring the message.
Thank you, Brother David. I had a good time last night. I don't know about you, but I had a good time. Amen. How many of you got blessed last night? Amen. Got the little book that we had last night. I told them last night that picture is good for framing or farming. More farming than framing, amen? This book here, I hope it'll be a blessing to you for a little offering love gift of $2.50. And if you've printed any lately or got any printing done, you know that's not a money-making proposition. And if you don't have any money and you want one of them, just help yourself. Nobody will say a thing or think anything about it. I want to say something to you tonight, and I want you to listen to me carefully. As you know, the Rock of Ages Ministries is a work of faith and a labor of love. We have our missionaries that labor in prisons. Now, it takes real men to do that kind of work. I mean, it's easy just to go in and maybe spend a little time and go out. But I mean, when you stay in there 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week, facing every demon the devil can throw at you. And I mean everything the devil can throw at you. Takes real man. Real, real man. And I want you to pray for these men. I really mean that. And then, too, we have our printing operation that supplies our men with the supplies they need. Anything they need don't cost them a dime. It's given to them. But now here's where I want to ask you to pray. My brother Bobby is the director of printing, gave up his church, felt like the Lord wanted him to come full-time into that ministry and take charge of the printing and take that load off of me. There's so many things you can do. And I had more on me, and he's come to us, and he's working with us full-time. And he's out raising up his deputation, his support, trying to raise his support. And any missionary nowadays, because there's a few rotten apples in the barrel, any good missionary would have a hard time. Because I'm going to tell you, preachers, now you can get mad at this if you want to, but you better check your missionary list and see if they're getting the job done. Amen? I'm sorry to tell you this. There are some that said they're missionaries sitting around drawing your money and not doing a dime's worth of work. And that's wrong. That's stealing. I don't care what you say. And God will judge a man like that. I believe if you send a dime to a missionary, it's a holy responsibility. Yeah. Amen. And old Bob's having a rough time. I mean that. I was talking to the office today, and they said it looked like unless God works a miracle, he may lose his home, but he's going to keep on going. I may lose his home. You know it takes money to live for a missionary.
Amen.
I don't care what nobody said. I'm not trying to pour him out for my brother. I'd hate to see him lose his home.
Amen.
And it said look like they said I may have to trade down for a car, an older car, and he's got nearly 100,000 miles on the one he's got. And I want you to pray tonight. I need some pastors that'll contact him. Bob is a real preacher, isn't he? He came here and preached. I believe he had five saved the time he came here and preached. And I wish you'd help me get him some churches to get in. He's pastored all these years, and not a lot of folks know him. And I need some churches that'll invite him in. And if they can't even take him on, why, he's a good preacher. He'll bless your people. And they can receive an offering for him and help him a little bit. And he's a good, faithful man of God. And I'm not afraid to recommend him. And I know he's clean, and I know he lives for God. I know he walks with God. I know he's got a good, clean family. One son's a preacher, and the other's a deacon. And his daughter married a preacher. Amen? And you start talking ugly about him, I'll climb up on your roof and tie your shingles off.
Amen.
I know him. I mean, he's 13 years younger than me. I babysitted for him. Now, if he acts a little strange sometimes... Well, one time I had him up on my shoulders, carrying him, dropped him off, hit the ground. Amen? So he may wobble a little bit every once in a while. But I'm as serious as a heart attack. I want you to pray. I made some contacts this afternoon. Maybe relieve the pressure just a little bit. But I'd like you to pray. I honestly mean that. I'd hate to see him lose his home. I really mean that. And if it was you, you'd hate to see that too, wouldn't you? For yourself. So let's make it a matter of prayer tonight. I don't hesitate to recommend him at all. And if you just know a church that would have old Bob come in and preach, he'll be a blessing to them. Know he will. And I'd thank you for it and count it a personal blessing. If he has to do that, and let's just consider he had to go on a job right now. I need him badly, very, very badly. I don't need the print shop shut down. It needs to be going. So you help me pray about that. How many of you make that a matter of prayer?
Amen.
I mean tonight. And God speaks to your heart about something, somebody to call, some preacher to call. Say, preacher, have this man in. Let him preach for you. He'll be a blessing to you. Glad to have all you preachers tonight. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad to see all of you. I want you to open your Bibles to the book of St. Matthew. Now, I'm going to read a verse and have to do... I don't think I'll have to explain for everybody, but I will explain for those it needs to be explained to, and that's not to make you look ignorant. You know, it's just maybe you don't know what I'm about to say. It's not make me smarter, you ignorant, but it's just something I think you ought to know. Get some things in the right perspective. You know, let me say this before I read it. It's a sad man today that thinks, now there's a lesson to be learned and a lesson to be had from the Bible, any of it. But all Scripture is not given to me personally, nor to me as a Gentile. There's Scripture written to specified people and groups and nations. And you better not try to make some Scriptures fit you. Amen? You'll be in the awfulest mess you ever got in your life. You'll be so fouled up doctrine, you don't know which way to go. And don't try. Don't try. I say don't try. I was talking to a fellow one day, and he was talking to me about keeping the Sabbath. Well, I said, I didn't know you was a Jew. Well, he said, I'm not. Well, I said, the Sabbath never was given to the Gentile. Amen? Never was. Never was. And you start messing around. I hear folks get down to pray and say, Lord, thank you for this beautiful Sabbath day. Well, Sunday's not the Sabbath. So don't try to apply always every Scripture to you and to us as Gentiles. Now, with that in mind, I want to read from Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. And I'm just going to read one verse there. And it has to do with what I'm going to preach in some fashion. But it's simply to set in order some things so you won't get mixed up as I go through the message. In verse 13, "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." Now, you're going to be in a mess if you try to apply that to us today. You'll have to discard the grace of God. You'll have to discard the preaching of the cross. You'll have to throw out the wind. Whoa! I like to trim the devil up when he tries to throw a curve. Amen. I want to say to you tonight with no hesitation in my heart that I'm not saved, nor was I saved, nor shall I be saved, enduring. Amen.
Amen.
I am not, I will not, and I have not. Amen. I'm saved by grace through faith. Amen. And I feel some preaching turning over down in there. And if I wasn't so dignified, I'd preach a while. Amen. Now you're set, preacher. What about that? What about that? There'll be a day it'll be in perfect perspective. A time when it'll be in perfect action. Amen. But don't you try to lay that on me. Amen. Don't you try that. I've learned how to read and I know better. Amen. But now with that in mind and that explanation, I want to call your attention, if you will please, to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I want to read some there. And just stay with me tonight. I want to be a blessing to you if I can. I want to address ourselves to part of that scripture that I read. A word, a particular word that was in that verse. But with a perfectly and absolutely and entirely different setting. Amen? Now the Bible said in Paul talking to that young preacher Timothy. And I like the way Paul starts out. He said, "Thou therefore, my son." And you say, "Well, Paul wasn't even married." Well, now that's debatable too. That's debatable. I know he was a member of the Sanhedrin. And if you start checking out and find out who could be a member of that, Paul sure had to get a lot of pull to get in there if he wasn't. Amen? And don't start arguing with me now. I'll be looking at you. You won't argue about that. Amen. And I'm not interested in arguing with you. "Thou therefore, my son." Paul had begotten or won Timothy or brought him to the Savior. Amen. And that made him his son in the Lord. Sometimes God just let me slow down and preach. Other times I slobber on five rows. Amen. "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others." Now there's two messages in here, and I'm going to try to keep from preaching both of them tonight and just preach one of them. But he said, thou therefore endure, and that word's in right, it's the right word ought to be right there.
Amen.
"Therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Our Father, help us tonight. Lord, make our tongue a ready writer's pen. God, may we speak, dear Lord, the words that would glorify thy name and edify the church. And we'll thank you and praise you
in the blessed name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Amen and amen. Now notice, if you will, one of the great pitfalls of the Christian today is some misinformation that's been floating around that somehow you get saved and just kind of coast right on into heaven and it'll just be a flowery bed of ease all the way. Somebody has been peddling you a bunch of lies. I want to serve notice on you. The day you get born again, washed in the blood, you have an adversary, my friend, a devil that's on your trail. Amen. Now, I worry about that man that said, well, the devil never bothers me. I want to say to you, friend of mine, every morning when I tie my shoes, I know old Slewfoot are one of his boys. Is going to dog my trail down the road. And Paul knew that. He said, son, I want you to endure hardness. I want to tell you, Timothy, there are some hard spots that you're going to reach. And you might as well find out, son, there are some things that's not going to go away. Amen. I see folks saying, well, I tell you, I'm going to quit. I'm just going to quit. I want to tell you, friend of mine, you better think that over too. Now this word endure, look at it. It means to last. It means to suffer patiently. It means to bear up under. Woo! It means to tolerate. He said, son, I want to tell you something, Timothy. There are some things that's going to hit you, and you might as well find out now. You're just going to have to put up with them. Amen. 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 Paul, you say, well, how did Paul know that? One day Paul woke up and said, Lord, God, I've got a thorn in me. I've got a thorn in me. I better have prayer about it. He said, Lord, I've got me a thorn in the flesh, and I want you to take it away. He said, my soul is still there. He prayed again. He said, still there. 3 times he went to God in the behalf of that thorn. And God said, Paul, I'm not going to take it away. I'm going to let you keep it. I'm going to let you keep it. Oh, friend. But he said, my grace will be sufficient for you. Amen. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
If you're going to shout, you better do it now. Endure some things. Some things that ain't going to go away. If you think you're going to hide your eyes and say, who ain't hit can't hide over, you're out of kids' games, honey. You're on a real battleground, and the devil's your enemy. And my friend, as long as you live for God, he's going to dog your trail, and you might as well learn it. You might as well endure it. Amen.
Said, I thought you enjoyed it. Yes, sir. But my friend, I'm saying this and using that word in the right context. There's some things that you might as well know now is not going to go away. Amen. God's not going to knock all the bumps and the rough places down and give you smooth sailing. Those valleys can be the best thing in the world that ever happened to you.
Amen.
God help a man. I'd hate to pastor a church where everybody had it just easy. It'd be a church that didn't pray.
Amen, brother.
You know when your best praying will be done? When some of that family's in the hospital and the doctors have tried all the wonder drugs on them. When that little old baby's running the temperature and it won't come down. You say, what do you think old Bob's doing tonight? He's got his head stuck up down in the corner of the room praying. Looks like he's going to lose his home and his car. And he wants to do something for God. You said, well, what does that mean? old Bob will come out of the corner a better man. Amen.
Amen,
amen,
brother.
Right. Amen. No, you said, oh, God, smooth out the road. Get rid of all the bumps. Said, I ain't going to do it. Just endure it. Amen.
Amen.
Put up with it. Bear up under it. Tolerate it. Amen.
I'm just getting started. Stay with me. Yes, sir. There's some things you're going to have to endure. But notice what Paul said. He said, endure hardness. He said, what does that mean? Just what it said.
There's some hard spots for you down the road. I mean, and they're good for you. I mean, they're real. You don't enjoy them, but they're good for you.
But notice what Paul said, and here's that second message, and I'll try not to get into it. He said, endure hardness as a good soldier. A good soldier. Lord, help me not to get all that tonight. Amen.
But I want to say to you, friend of mine, I'm sick and tired of that crowd. May the next time you pick your nose a book about you.
Amen.
Bless him, God. Bless him.
I'm sick of these whiners and bellyachers.
Amen.
I'm sick of these grumblers and complainers that is constant. I don't know where it is. Judah.
Amen, brother.
Just endure hard. Put up with it. Learn it's going to be there.
Amen.
It's going to be there. It's not going away. As long as the devil's here, them hard spots will be here.
Amen.
You say, couldn't God take them away? Yes, but he'll let them happen. Paul said, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh to buffet me. He said it was a messenger of Satan.
Amen.
I want to tell you something. God had never even informed Job about it or asked him what he thought about it. God turned the devil loose on him.
Amen. Amen.
And he never went into conference with Job and said, now, Job, kind of straighten up. The devil's going to hit you. I believe you can take it. He never even told Job nothing about it. Never asked him nothing about it. Said, there he is, devil, sick him.
Amen.
He said, I wonder why I'm having this rough. Has somebody took off at the power? I bet you got a hangnail, ain't you? Rough? Having it rough? No. We're having it good.
Amen.
Amen. Wonder what Paul would have done if he walked up here and said, David, what's this?
Amen. Amen, brother.
David said, thermostat, Paul. Thermostat? What's that for?
Yeah.
Said, you hear that little humming?
Oh, yeah.
It makes it cool in here. Paul would have said, you're kidding. I never did have one of them in jail. Can you imagine Paul walking around feeding these
people? That's right, brother.
Oh, Lord. What? Who is
that? Amen, brother. That's right, brother. Amen.
Would you have the nerve to walk up to Paul and say, man, I'm having a rough.
Amen.
Paul would ask you, said, let me see your back to see how you've been whipped.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Paul would have said, did you just get off a shipwreck crew? What I'm trying to tell you, what you're going through can be for your good and God's glory. Amen.
Yeah.
Endure hardness. Put up with it. Tolerate it. Stand up under it. You said, I want God to take it away. God may not take it away. God may know you need it. God may hold your feet to the fire a while. Amen? It may be a test you're going through. And there may be some things in your life you'll have to put up with the rest of your life. You may never see the light out from under it. Amen? Some of you right now are thinking of some things in your life. You said, you mean reckon I really will have to put up with it? Yeah, you asked him to marry you, didn't you?
Don't look everybody up for one mistake you were like. Of course, if you look in your eyes, you see there ain't nobody home.
There's just some mistakes I don't see how nobody makes. Endure it. Put up with it. Well, you said I'm going to look awful sad while I'm doing it. Now, wait a minute. I'll get over that in a few minutes. But I'm going to take my time before I get to that. I got a few more things I want to share with you. He said, endure hardness. Endure it. I mean, stand up under it. But he said it's a good soldier. Now, here's the second message, and I ain't going to give you fellas that outline before I get to preach it down here. Amen. I know preacher. Boy, you just spot a preacher on an outline, he'll grab it and put a copyright on it. Amen. And I ain't going to let you fellas have it till I get to preach it first. Endure hardness. Then secondly, Hebrews 12 and 7, he said endure chastisement.
Amen, brother.
Endure chastisement. You said, I don't see why God's doing me this way.
All right.
Let's just turn, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And read some there and see what God's doing this for. Hebrews chapter 12. And let's begin reading, if you will, in verse 7. If you endure chastisement, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he? What son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Now go up to verse 3. For consider him that endures such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you are rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And verse 7 said, if ye endure chastisement, God dealeth with you as with sons. I will say to you, great are his time. God's tied me up to the whipping post and laid on me. And I pray, oh God, help me to endure it and bear up under it. I know he's given me what I need, and I will look good like a son.
Amen.
God don't just all of a sudden think I'll give somebody a whipping. I just feel like whipping somebody. God don't do that. I believe I'll whip me two or three. When God grabs you by the nape of the neck. I never, if you tell Bob I said this, out of the night. Bobby, you still never forget when Daddy or Mama started to get a hold of him. Before they ever hit him a lick, he'd start screaming, I won't do it no more. And Bob had lungs, all I know he's going to be a preacher then. Now, I don't know about you, but I know this. God has chastened me. Now, there's a lot in that, Ray. I know I'm his son. I know I am. Now, you said, now, Brother Blue, do you enjoy the chastening? No. But I know he's doing it for my good. My daddy, bless his memory, he's in heaven now. But I never will forget, and I may have told the sheriff, I'm not sure. Daddy told me one morning, said, when I come in tonight, I want the wood box full and kindling in the box. I got to play and forgot it. I just forgot it. They knew he was lying about it. I forgot it. Daddy came in that night, and there wasn't no kindling, and there wasn't no wood in the box. He said, where's the kindling and where's the wood? I know he was lying. I said, I forgot it. He said, come on out of here, son. Said, you and I are going to have a talk. That was the one side of this conversation. Daddy pulled up a sprout or a sapling. It would almost make salt timber. And he pushed me out about arm's length. And I heard that bush coming through the air going, shh. And he made contact on the lower part of my anatomy. And he just kept on doing it. And he said, son, I'm doing this because I love you. And I said, if you love me, why don't you quit? You're going to kill me. But from that day to this, I am now the world's champion kindling cutter. If they had a contest in the Olympics for cutting kindling, all the rest of them might as well give up. I done got it. I can just be driving down the road and see an old tree that I think's kind of rich and pine ladder, and I'm going to have to fight myself to keep and stop and split it up. You said, now what brought that back? My daddy would chase me. Amen. You said, what good does God's chastening do? It'll make you straighten up and fly right.
Amen.
I'm a preacher of truth, brother.
Amen, brother. Yes, brother.
Amen.
Now he said, don't despise it. Don't despise it. Did you ever know when you was a kid that you had one coming? Daddy had a strange way of doing things. Every once in a while, I'd do something, maybe on Wednesday. And he'd look right at me with them. Daddy was a Cherokee. He'd look at me with them eyes and said, I'll whip you next Wednesday at 4 o'clock. Oh, my soul.
Oh, God. All week long, I have And you talk about praying that week. I pray, oh, God, wipe it from his mind. Don't let it remember. And then to add insult to injury, a week later on Wednesday, he'd go out about 2 o'clock and come back with a hip crack.
Oh, no.
And would set it up in the corner. And make me come in the living room and sit down and look at it.
Amen.
And he'd walk over and get that hickory and bend it. You like it? No. Enjoy it? No. But it bore good fruit.
Amen.
I walk down through the penitentiary halls now and see young men that didn't have a daddy like mine. They didn't have somebody that loved me and said no sometimes. And when I broke his law, he saw that I was reminded that I broke it. Now see, those young men that didn't know what discipline was, that didn't know what stern discipline was, now then many of them are awaiting the electric chair. But Daddy said, boy, I'd whip you for that. Our Heavenly Father.
I think there's a special crowd. God can give the ministry of suffering. There's some folks that they can take a cold. And they'll whine, growl, and grumble. That's true. Amen. But now last week before they took that cold, they stood up in church and said, I'm getting home to say prayer. I didn't want to see Jesus. I just thought, but they take a cold and they'll run over 14 cars getting to the station. Hey, if they want to see Jesus, why don't they jump out of the car and run one of the other cars? We're lying like dogs.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Now, your husband out.
Amen, brother.
Endure affliction. What I'm saying and what God's Word is saying, I believe when these things come along, we may not enjoy them, and we may suffer, and we may be in pain, but I believe there's a way to conduct ourselves in these situations.
Amen.
I believe the world hears us with our lying, how we want to go to heaven and how we want to see Jesus, and they know we're lying too. Amen. It don't take a smart man to figure that you're lying then.
Amen.
You're a human being, you want to live as long as you can.
That's right.
Yes. There's a few folks, God knows them and said, I'm going to give them the ministry of suffering. Remember one time years ago now, I was in revival, I think in Missouri somewhere, I can't remember. A lady came up to us one day and said, preacher, would you go see my mama? Said she's 90 years old. She fell and broke her hip 2 or 3 years ago, and she's heard your tapes, and she's never met you, and she said she's bedfast. And she wants to see you while you're in this country if you can. And I said, I'll go see her. I never will forget. She was staying with one of her daughters out in the country, and I went over there that day, and me and the pastor. And we got to the house, and the daughter met us and said, Mama's having her time of prayer, and we don't want to disturb her. And said, you can tiptoe if you'll be real quiet in here at the door where she's at. Now, David, I have never had anything like that happen in my life. They led us to the room. Oh, the room was so clean. They led us in there, the hospital bed, which was just as clean and pretty. But I saw something that day that I know now what this means. Let's endure this affliction. When we walked into the room, every available inch on that wall was covered up in prayer cards and pictures of kids and families. And she had her head turned over with her face to the wall. And she goes over those pictures of dead. She's in heaven now. Every one of those people, she had their names memorized. And she called them all their names. I stood there listening to her pray, I guess, for 45 minutes. And she never asked God for nothing for herself. She never said, Lord, heal my hip. She never said, Lord, get me up out of this bed. But all of a sudden, I looked right over in front of her face in that bed on that wall, and there was my picture. And she didn't know I was standing out there. And she said, Lord, I've never met Brother Blue. I've heard his tapes. But God, I want you to bless him. Lord, I just want you to pour heaven out of him. And God was already dead. He was about to drown.
And all of a sudden, I couldn't stand it no more, and I started shouting. Because I saw what God was saying, just endure affliction, bear up under it, and stand up under it patiently. That old saint was laying there, and affliction was in her body, but she was enduring it and enjoying the time of God.
Amen. Bless you, my God. Yeah, bless you.
I started shouting, and she looked over and said, "Brother Blue, come here, honey. I want to kiss you and give you sugar." She started hugging my neck, and we both started shouting.
I never did hear her complain and grumble or belly. She would adore it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 I wish I'd get church members to see this. Your pastor would be the happiest man that ever was. Complainers and grumblers and belly achers. Our churches are full of them, and sinners come in, and they work with you on the job, and they hear you complain all the time. They hear you grumble and complain and bellyache all the time. And then you turn around and have the nerve and the gall and the audacity. Said, "Oh, it's just sweet to live for the Lord. He just blesses me," and he does. But if you're going to do any complaining, don't do it in front of the world. Don't do that! It's a bad place to do it.
Amen.
And next of all, we're to endure persecution. Hello?
Amen.
We're going to get over where the rubber meets the road now, Ray. Open your Bibles, please, to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. Through 12. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life and purpose, faith, long suffering, charity, and patience. Persecution, afflictions, which came to me at Iconium, Antioch, and Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Now, wait a minute. Stay with me. You said, "Oh, well, preacher, I thought you said some things I had to put up." Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Stay with me now. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Well, you said God said he delivered Paul. Yeah, from that situation, from those situations. But I believe, listen, if you want to get out of persecution, stop living godly. Because as long as you live godly, you're going to suffer persecution. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You said, "I want it to stop." Then start living like the devil.
The devil quit persecuting. He'll quit lying on you.
Amen.
Amen. They'll quit talking about it.
Amen.
They'll quit saying things about it. If you don't want persecution, start living a wild, loose life. The devil won't pack you. Amen.
Amen.
If you're going to live for God, and I believe Paul kept on living for God, don't
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
Out of all those things that Paul just mentioned, he said God took care of that. But I believe he kept living for God. He said, "I fought a good fight, I kept the faith, I finished the course, and I believe every step of that battleground, I believe the devil was out of his front."
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to say this, and I'm not saying it, and you won't hear me grumbling about it.
I mean, listen to me. I don't like persecutions no better than nobody else, but I'm not going to start living for the world. Now, I'm going to say this, and it's not to brag on sin. I'm not doing that. There's a preacher that's fallen, and I want you to pray for him. I love him. I preached revivals for him. I preached the night his little girl got saved. Preached. I've never harmed that man. I've harmed you as much as I've harmed him. I've never said an evil word about him. I've never harmed him away in my life. Never lifted my hand or my tongue against him. He's fallen. I pray for him. I really have. I believe the Bible said, "If ever be one among you overtaken in the fault, you with your spiritual restore such a one in the spirit." I've prayed for him.
But for some reason, unbeknownst to me, and I know it's him, good men that I know, he's told them things, and they've come right straight to me and told me it was him. Now then, I've tracked him down, and I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, he's telling some of the ugliest things on me you could ever imagine. I've never heard it in my life. He told recently that I was into selling dope. He told recently that I owned in Knoxville, Tennessee. Look at me. I'm not blushing. I'm not guilty. God knows I'm not. It's something that the devil... See, the devil don't care whether it's truth or not. He just lies. He don't care if it's truth or not, because some of you are sitting there that you don't believe anything. Amen. So I owned in Knoxville, Tennessee, a topless nightclub. I don't know if you come more with discount tickets.
Yeah, amen. That's
you said, why, nobody wouldn't tell that on you. Yea, and all the live godly, and I'm not trying to make myself look like a saint, but if you live for God, the devil will lie on you.
Amen, brother.
You said, well, now, Brother Blue, why don't you go get him straightened out? It's the most foolish thing you ever done in your life to try to straighten a lie out. Old B.R. Lakin, B.R.'s gone to heaven. He said something one time, I never have forgot it, and I never understood it when he first said it. He said, if a devil tells something on you, he said, don't deny nothing. He said, don't deny it. I don't care what he tells, don't deny it. And I thought, my soul, I don't make sense. And then he said, what? He said, don't deny that. Because your real friends and the people of God won't believe it.
Amen.
And the enemies, I don't care how you deny it, they won't believe it anyway.
Amen, brother.
Well, we ought to come out for good things.
That's right, brother.
Don't run it. You can't run a lie down. He'll go around the corner on you. Split up and be going both ways the same time. Amen. You say, well, now, Brother Blue, they're just saying some lovely things about me. I don't know. I shut up. Just shut up. I told some folks I've had everything told on me except stealing a nigger baby and painting it white. I caught myself looking at one of them little rascals the other day in front of a paint store. If you've been preaching 6 months,
amen,
and the devil hadn't told something on you, amen, you're a compromiser, amen?
Amen.
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 Just. Oh, David, hush. Just as sure as there's a God in heaven, if you take that peculiar definite stand for God, the devil's going to tell something on you. Amen.
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 Amen. But he said endure persecution. Now notice in James 5:11, he said something I like. He said, count them happy.
Amen.
Count them happy.
Do.
Am I preaching the truth?
Amen.
Well, not your little pointer head.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
Count them happy. James said, count them happy who endure.
Amen.
It ought to be a blessing to your heart to know that your soul living for God, that the devil finds it necessary to do something to you.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Oh,
nice
God.
So James said, count that one happy. They whipped those boys and beat the blood out of their mouth, and they went on their way rejoicing.
Amen.
That was worth. Talks about the early church in the book of Acts, and the more they
persecute them, the more they grow. Amen.
Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
They throw them. They saw them asunder. They done everything they could. But oh, hallelujah! They rejoiced over what they had to do.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah to God. That's page one of my outline. All right, First Peter, he said, endure grief.
Now, I've already told my kids how to conduct themselves in my funeral. Crying is a human emotion.
Yeah.
It's just a thing that when your kid, when you die, your kids die, it's human to weep.
Yeah.
It is. It's just human. But now, wait a minute. I've saw some folks go beyond that.
Amen.
I believe there's a Christian way to conduct ourselves in a Christian spirit.
Amen.
We're suffering, there's pain, there's misery, there's heartache, but I believe that we ought to endure grief. So what do you mean, preacher? Your weeping is not going to make it go away. But we got heavenly biblical instructions. He said, let us not sorrow as do others. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again,
amen,
even then with sleeping God will he bring with him.
Yes, yes,
boy, he said, don't sorrow like that bunch of heathers,
yes,
that have no hope. We've got a blessed hope.
Yes.
Communists that don't believe in God,
yeah,
saying goodbye, farewell. Oh, raising their head, I don't want them to go.
A child of God can walk by a Christian husband or a Christian wife, reach down and kiss the corpse of that old tabernacle of clay,
yeah,
stand back with tears rolling down your cheeks, turning,
I'll be here in the morning.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'll
meet you. We'll see you over there. Down to the side of the river. Hallelujah. It'll all be over
after.
We could last for the night. Joy is coming in the morning.
Amen.
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 Endure it. Put up with it. He said, I've lost my husband. Was he saved? Yeah. Well, he's in heaven. Anything you know where's at, you ain't lost it.
Amen.
Oh, boy. Don't say I lost my little old baby. It's walking around in the flower garden.
Amen.
You never lost it.
Amen.
You know where it's at.
Yeah.
David said, I can't bring you back,
right,
but I can go through it. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, endure grief. They won't enjoy it, just endure it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, you said we ought to have an example, don't you think, preacher? Don't you think we ought to have an example? Well, I'll give you some, but let me give you another one. In Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith,
amen,
who for the joy that was set before him,
endured the cross.
He said, who is our example? He said he endured the cross.
Yeah, amen.
He despised the sin.
Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you glad it didn't come down?
Yeah.
Aren't you glad it stayed there?
Yeah.
He is our perfect example. He endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hallelujah.
I said, preacher, I want to be a Christian, a real Christian. And there's some things you might want to find out now. It's not going to go away.
Amen.
As long as you live for God, the devil's going to be on your front.
Amen.
You're going to go
away.
Yeah, I say he's going to go
away. Amen.
Hey, just might well find out.
Amen.
You might well just get settled in your mind. Old boogeyman ain't gonna go away.
Right.
Old shrewfoot's gonna trail you like a coon hound.
Yeah.
You know, when I was a little old boy, did you ever take, Ray, did you ever take a bucket lid off a lard bucket? That was known as stinging you wouldn't.
Hey,
man. I know I'm going to have to endure some things as long as I live. One of these days, hallelujah. When it's all over. When my suffering, all of that suffering, and I step inside again on the street of pure gold, the pure
transparency.
I'd like for the Lord, I know the devil will trail me right up to the
gate.
I know he will. He's not going to quit. He'll trail me right up to the gate. But if the Lord would let me, I'd say, Lord, if you got a large bucket lid, and with the devil standing there foaming at the mouth, I'd like to back up to the bed.
Hey,
just kick gold dust all over.
Yes,
I believe if he was still on the cross and heard you say that which he's not on the cross.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
You
can
say, I do it.
Yeah.
I do it.
Yeah.
And I endured it for you.
Yeah.
I died for you. I could have come down, but I didn't do it.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Have you been complaining here lately about little old things? It's been a belly aching, and a lot of it's right in front of sinners that didn't understand it. There you are going mouthing off and telling what a hard time you're having. When James said, count them happy. What you do? Aren't you a little bit ashamed? I see that girl that come to the altar last night. Honey, you bless me. I prayed for you last night when I got to the motel. God strengthen you.
David, I want to be a priest. I'm not interested in being the barrister I just have. That'll be another message. I might preach that tomorrow. See, a lot of you want to wear the uniform, but there's more to it than wearing
that. There's
more to it than having brass buttons on your chest. I won't work up the answer. Well, you don't burn that hiccup this way. I said, all right. God, if you whipped me like you did that young a while ago, you'd break me. It's amazing how many piano players would like to kill me. Look at me. Don't look off, or don't get ready to leave the house. Get out of here. Pick out that song, sweetheart, just as I am, without one plea. David, you or somebody come up here and get ready to lead the verse two of that, would you? Somebody, don't make no difference.
Look up here at me. Look up here at me. This church is sitting here right now. Your life has been nothing but a trail of complaining and stuff. Sure, you have it rough, but you think you're the only one that has? You think you're the only one that knows what suffering and grief and pain's all about? God said there's some places you're going to have to endure hard. You might as well find it out right now. You're going to have to put up with it.
Play softly, sweetheart, would you please? And there's some of you right now to find your way to this altar. Some of you right now, you know you're just nothing in the world but an old loud-mouthed bellyacher. Why don't you get on your knees and say, God, help me to endure some things. I just want to stand up and bear up under it. I want to tolerate it like a real Christian. I want to be what you would be pleased. And the Bible said, count them happy which endure. There's some of you right now, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed and nobody looking around, I wonder, would you raise your hand and say, Brother Blue, God sent that message to me. Thank you, darling. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Yes, sir. God bless you. Thank you, lady. Thank you, honey. Thank you. Oh, God sent it to you, didn't he? But the thing about it is, what you going to do about it? What you going to do about it? God spoke to your heart. I wonder if there's somebody here who's never been saved, never have known the Lord. Would you raise your hand and say, pray for me. Pray for me, preacher. I need to get right with God. Wonder if there's an old backslider outside the will of God. Well, raise your hand and say, pray for me. Pray for me. Father, tonight every hand that went up, help them, God, to hit this altar and stay here till they got some things settled. They can go away and then realize they got to endure some things. Have your way, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. God's devil, your heart wants you to come on right now. Come on. Mind God. Let God have his way. Lead us in it, brother.
Help us all.
Come on. Come on right now. Come on. Mind God. If God's dealt with your heart, don't stand there. If God showed you some move you ought to make, make it. Make it right now. Come on. Come on right now. Come on. Come on right now. Sing another verse, brother. Just that. Come on right now. Come out of that seat right now. And say, God, I'm going to get on my knees. I'm going to get on my knees. Will you do it? Will you come right now? Come on, honey. That's a girl. Up here's a good spot. That's an awful good spot. Oh, Lamb of God, I come. That's the way, dear. Come on. That's the way. Just mind God. Sing on. Have him sing it, folks. Wait just a moment. Every head bowed, never eye closed, never Christian breathing a prayer to God. I'm honest, folks. There's a bunch of you here. Raise your hand. You haven't made a move. You want prayer, but you don't want really nothing done about it. Tonight, I'm not going to get hateful with you. I ain't going to do that. God wants to speak to your heart tonight. Why don't you come to the altar and say, Lord, give me something special. I don't want to go down through life being a complainer and a belly. I want to endure hardness. I want to endure some. If it's going to be my lot in life, I want to do it like a good soldier. Amen. I wonder right now, would you raise your hand again and said, Preacher, God did speak to my heart. God sent that message my way. I know it was for me. Would you raise your hand right now? Yes, yes, I see it. Yes, I see it. I see it. God bless your heart. God bless your heart. Now, don't stand there. God wants to do something for you. Remember last night, the message is what one person can do. God may want to take you and transform your life this week. While we sing another verse right now, I want you to come and get on your knees. I want to pray for you while we sing right now. Come on. Come on. Come on right now. Want you to come. Come on. That's the way you come. That's all right, brother. Dear friend, tonight, have you minded God? Have you been obedient to the Holy Ghost? You know, tonight, I believe with all my soul, David, God's wanting to give us revival this week. Now, I believe there's some folks kind of feeling a breath of revival. I'm honest about it. I do. But there's others that will go out of here as dry as a shuck this week. But it's not going to be God's fault. And I know God's hand's been on me in this message tonight. I know that. I don't have to guess about it. I know God's been on me. I know that. I know that. Let me tell you something, dear folks. Don't you go around laying your coldness and your deadness off on God. Don't you go around blaming God for the shape you're in. No, sirree. No, sir. Job said, though he slay me, I'll trust him. Though he slay me, I'm going to trust him. You said, why has God done me this way? Job said, though the dust worm eat me up, I'm going to see him in my flesh. Amen. A couple of little old girls over here praying. And I know it ain't going to bother them. Just go ahead, brother.
Amen. And you mind, God, would you, sir?
Yes, brother David, I'd like to say something right now. Don't be near the rug.
Go ahead, brother.
God just built me up. I got something I got to say. I'd like to say that I'm glad that I went to hell.
Amen.
And I seen Jesus.
Amen.
That's the man there that changed your life.
Amen,
yes,
brother.
Young man.
Amen.
God showed me that day. Let the Holy Spirit show me where I was at.
Yeah.
And where I was going.
Amen, brother.
You look at this man and be my son and you change.
Yeah. Amen, brother.
And I'm glad.
Yes, brother. Yes, brother.
Amen.
Amen.
I believe the Lord's here with us.
Yes, brother.
And I know it's all that need to accept Jesus to die.
Amen.
Get some things right.
Yeah,
pray then do it.
Yes, brother. Amen. Amen, brother. Amen. Some of you folks need to come. Some of you still need to come. Quit grieving and quenching the Holy Spirit. Tomorrow may be too late. Jesus could come tonight. You know, I'm not going to preach. But you know, we're living the last days. There ain't no doubt about it. We're living in the last of the last days. God has got Israel in their land. Amen? And the current world situation is nothing to be alarmed about for a child of God. Because it's just God setting the world, setting the stage for what is yet to come. God is in heaven. Now, Satan is the god of this world. Amen. But he can only operate on the end of God's rope. And God's just letting the devil set the world up and get it ready for what is yet to come on this world. And there's no better time in history to be a Christian than that. The last days. And it may be too late. It may be too late tomorrow. Jesus could come tonight. And somebody here needs to do business with God tonight. Don't put it off. You hear, you're miserable. You're just absolutely miserable. Your heart is just a flying inside of you. And you feel uneasy. You know what that is? That's the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart. That's conviction. And you need to come tonight. Now. God said, come now. And that's all you have is now. You may not have after a while. Come now. Now. Let's sing another verse.
From God, Lord, I'm coming home. The paths of sin, too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home.
What about it tonight?
Coming home, coming home. Nevermore to roam. Open.
Amen. I'm glad you come, young lady. Amen. Some of you ladies, come and pray with her. Amen. You find out she's been saved. Amen. Now, there's one that should have come. There's somebody else ought to come tonight. God's speaking to your heart. And you just keep grieving and quenching the Holy Spirit. Why don't you be obedient and come? Let God do something for you. Let God do something for you tonight.
Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home. Coming home. Nevermore to roam.
bless you, young lady. Amen. God bless her heart. Come. I knew those others ought to come. Listen, friend. Listen to me tonight. And I'm going to say this again. Now, God has impressed this on my heart. We're living in the last days. Now, Jesus is coming soon. I believe that as much as I know I'm breathing. You know, Russia to the north is just perched like a bear, waiting to come south from the mountains of Israel. Trouble on the borders of Russia. And all of that trouble, if the truth is known tonight, every bit of that trouble can be laid in one place, and that's in the lap of the communists. They're just coming farther and farther south. You know why they're doing that? Because God said, I've got hooks in their jaws, and I'm pulling them down upon the mountains of Israel. God is working through that communist, godless, atheistic nation tonight, Russia. God's working through them. And God's bringing them down upon the mountains of Israel to fulfill Bible prophecy in the last days. Them Jews has been in the land since 1917, started going back. And God told Daniel 2,520 years before they ever started going back, God showed him with the fingers of a man's hand writing on the palace wall at Babylon, said, Daniel, it'd be 2,520 years for them Jews to start going home. And that was in 603 B.C. is when the times of the Gentiles began. And you subtract 603 B.C. from 2,520 years, you know what you're going to get? 1917. You know what happened in 1917? The Jews started going home. And God's yet to deal with Israel in the last days. And let me tell you something. When God gets ready to deal with Israel, he's through with the Gentiles. And it will be too late for you, my friend. You'll be left behind for the great tribulation. God will send a strong delusion on you that you should believe a lie and be damned because you receive not the love of the truth that you might be saved. And people tell me I'll just wait till after the rapture, go into the tribulation. I won't receive the mark. I'll endure the end. That's who's got to endure the end. It's them folks that's left for the great tribulation. But the church won't go through 1 minute of Daniel's 70th week. We're not going to go through 1 minute of the great tribulation. God's going to call his church home in the glorious rapture. And you that are here tonight that's unsaved, you're going to be left behind. Now, if you're saved, you're going. If you're saved, you're going. You're going to go to the judgment seat of Christ. And the Bible says we're going to give an account of our deeds done in this body. And you're not just going to sail away home the pearly gates. You're going to stand before the Son of God and look him in the face and tell it like it is. And you're going to give an account of your worldliness, your carnality, your slackness, your coldness, your indifference, your backslidings, turning your back on God, all those things you're going to give an account of, my friend. And you're going to be just like Lot. You're going to have nothing left but a handful of ashes. God's going to try your works by fire, and the Bible says every man's works going to be tried by fire, and if your works abide, God's going to give you a reward. But if you suffer loss, the Bible says you'll lose your reward, and you'll have nothing left, my friend, but ashes. Wood, hay, and stubble, it'll burn up, nothing but ashes. I'd hate to go in empty-handed. Don't tell me you just want to make it in. I am going to make it in. I'm going to heaven. I know it. I know I'm going. I couldn't go to hell if I tried. I'm so saved it's pitiful. I can't go to hell if I tried. I'm going to heaven. Amen? As far as God's concerned, I'm already in heaven. The Bible says he hath raised us up, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. As far as God is concerned, I'm already there. The Bible says whom he called, he justified, and those he justified, he glorified. And listen, friend, God's predestined me to be conformed to the image of his Son. The predestination's a work of God. I'm going to make it. But I'm going to the judgment seat, and I'm going to give an account of my works. I'm going to go in, but I don't want to go in empty-handed. You see, in Revelation chapter 5, verse 10, it says, they cast their crowns before the throne. Saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive honor and glory and power. Someday, if I have reward, I'm going to lay them at the feet of Jesus. And can you see some of these Christians go up there with a handful of ashes and lay them? That's why John said, now, little children, abide in him, that you may have confidence, not be ashamed before him at his coming. Let me ask you a question seriously. If Jesus were to come tonight, could you stand before him unashamed? Paul talked about the judgment seat in 2 Corinthians 5, and he said in verse 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in this body. The next verse, he said, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord. The judgment seat of Christ is a terror. I dread it, don't you, Brother Bailey?
Yes, sir, Brother.
I dread the judgment seat. I dread standing before Hingham and giving account of my work. Don't you? Let me ask you one more question. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, we're fixing to turn you loose. Some of you's in a hurry to get out of here. How many could stand before the Savior tonight and say, I wouldn't be ashamed? Can you raise your hand? Is there one? What about it? How many couldn't?